Well, it's been very, very difficult for Wendy and myself to not talk about last night's debate, but we said to ourselves, Eric Zorn is coming in. Let's chat with Eric about last night's debate, and that's what we're doing. Eric, of course, a fine, fine writer for your Chicago Tribune.
And feisty.
And somewhat feisty. Somewhat feisty, yes.
Oh, are you feisty?
I'm stealing your feist away, I think.
Last night's debate was...
If you had to sum it up in a word, it would be... I think it was satisfying for backers of Donald Trump. If you are a big backer of Donald Trump and you buy into all of his attacks on Hillary Clinton, you were very satisfied with what you heard last night. He took the case to her that he failed to do that in the first debate. Mm-hmm. He got off track. He lost energy. This debate, he stayed pretty much on track, and he brought up Benghazi. He brought up the emails.
Sure.
He went after her on a number of things that they have been wanting him to go after her on for a long time. And also, he went after her on Bill Clinton's infidelities.
Yeah.
How does that have anything to do with her?
Well, because he was deflecting. That's the one thing I learned last night is if I ever say or do anything horrible and I'm called out on it, I will explain to everybody how I will defeat ISIS. That's what he did.
Yep. So he did in the first answer, yeah. Well, I mean, his answer for that is, well, because, you know, there were all these problems that were coming up during the 92 run and then when Monica Lewinsky came about. And what was Hillary Clinton's role in orchestrating the effort to discredit some of these women who were coming forward?
Yeah.
And what did she say to them? What did she do? And the New York Times did a pretty long look at this by Megan Toohey, who used to work in our newsroom a couple weeks, maybe a week and a half ago. And they didn't find a whole lot there in terms of like things that you could say, well, Hillary Clinton said this, did this. I mean, she was part of the inner circle, and Clinton's inner circle was trying to discredit some of these women who were coming forward. There's no question about that.
But what about the added bonus of having several of the women there in attendance? What is that exactly proving? I'm not positive.
They were put there directly to rattle Hillary Clinton.
It didn't work.
She didn't look all that rattled, and she didn't. You know, she did not play a lot of offense last night. I think she got in some solid points. I thought she did a fine job. She let Trump talk. And she knew that the post-debate referees, the fact-checkers, were going to show you how many times, how comprehensively he lies, how mm-hmm. he says things. And, you know, the one thing that was just kind of hilarious was that he denied telling people to go look at some porn tape.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Well, he thought that there was some porn tape involving the Miss Universe contestant. And he said, someone accused him of going and telling people to look at a porn tape. He said, I never did that. And this was like less than 2 weeks ago
right.
He tweeted this out. And it says, go look at the porn tape.
Right.
Which doesn't, porn video, but it doesn't actually exist. But in any case, it's like things like that. He is unmoored from the facts in so many ways. So I think her strategy was not quite rope-a-dope, but she seemed content not to engage with him on that. I mean, the whole Bill Clinton question came up, right? He brought that up pretty early in the debate. He pivoted off the tape, the Billy Bush Access Hollywood tape that came out on Friday.
The Bushy, as he refers to himself.
And that tape, which caused such consternation among Republicans and in the Trump camp all weekend long, to the point that I think by the time they got to that debate on Sunday night, Trump realized he had absolutely nothing to lose by opening up all the guns on Hillary and on this debate. He couldn't come out and try to be presidential and change people's attitudes about him in a way that was going to rescue his campaign. So he decided he was going to solidify his base by coming on really strong. And, you know, I did my column, which is already online for tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but it talks about how inappropriate and shocking it was for him to threaten to put her in jail.
Right. How about that moment?
That does not seem right or presidential.
Or American.
Or, yes.
It's not what we do here. We put your
opponents in jail.
When we defeat our political opponents, we shake hands, we offer concession speeches and congratulations, and we move on with orderly transitions of power. And, you know, you saw that with President Obama. And he did not listen to the calls on the far left to prosecute Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld for war crimes.
Right.
I mean, they back off of this. So
can I ask you a favor?
That.
Put your headphones on because people are calling up, and I want you to be able to hear them so you can respond. Do you have
are
a
Are you
pair
sure of? I want to hear them?
You want to hear these. 312-981-7200, of course, is our phone line and our text line.
And Kathy has called in. Kathy, we're talking to the feisty Eric Zorn. Go.
Hi. Actually, I want to say, because last time Eric Zorn was on, I called up. You already gone. You're off. But I want to say you had the best speech for an apology for the Zahn family for Donald, which he certainly didn't do, but you took several days to think of it. It was wonderful. Okay, what I'm calling now, and I believe the language that Donald used, he said this was locker room talk. Was that his phrase, or what was it?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's what he said it was, yeah.
Okay, where did it take place?
On a bus.
On a bus. It's bus talk, too.
No, that was at on-site. That was a job, and he's meeting an associate. So what would any of you, if you do something privately with your friends or something, say something, but would you at work now, would you get away with a lot of this?
Well, I've had this.
What would happen to you?
No, we wouldn't get away with it. And I've had this conversation with a lot of men, and you know, men can be crude, but it's not about. I have never in all the locker rooms I've been in, and all the male bonding crude talk I've had. I've never heard anybody, and certainly not myself, ever said anything that talks about sort of glorifying the kind of sexual assault that he's talking about.
No, and that's what Jake Tapper said when it was mentioned by Mayor Giuliani. And he said, I have never heard that. I have never said it. I would never accept it. So it doesn't, because he's, Mayor Giuliani was saying, well, this happens and people do this. It's like, no, not normal people do this. But actually, you were very good on the phone.
Well, the thing is, Wendy said that even
thank you, Kathy.
That even in radio, even in the degraded world,
I've
of
heard
radio,
a lot.
The lowest of the low.
Seriously,
the low people hang out. You haven't heard things like
and
that.
And part of me thinks, you know, he was just trying to look like a big shot in front of the Bushy, you know. But still, that tells you what kind of a character what character he doesn't have.
Do you think, is this going to be a Bill Cosby moment for him? Are there going to be women who are going to come out of the woodwork to accuse him of these things? Because that certainly...
Well, they've already put down a mandate to the people over at The Apprentice to not release any audio or video that they might have on file. So that tells you...
Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. Why can't they release it?
Well, because
they don't want to. I think Mark Burnett is he's the
friend.
Producer. He's a friend or a supporter of Trump, so they don't want those out.
Can I ask, when he was... For people who don't know, he made some very lewd comments about a couple of women, most notably Nancy O'Dell, who's an entertainment reporter. When talking to Billy Bush about him trying to have his way with her, he mentioned twice that she was married. As kind of that was like the tail end of a sentence. You know, I tried, I did this, I tried that. She's married, like that. What's that part of it mean? Is that his way of saying the only reason I didn't get farther is that she's married?
Wasn't he married at the time?
He was.
It's a built-in excuse, but he did try that trick, Bill, that all men know, taking women furniture shopping.
Yes.
He tried.
Hey, that would work for me.
Yes.
I got to be honest with you.
I thought that was our secret trick, and now he's blown. He's told the whole world.
You get anything you want if you're taking furniture shopping.
I tell you what.
I know.
Tic Tac wants to get away from him, too. I thought that was so funny when they tweeted that out. Like, I can't remember their exact statement, but we want nothing to do with this.
Right, yeah. Right. All right, more with Eric Zorn and your calls and thoughts at 312-981-7200. More coming, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here, the Chicago Tribune. Another thing that I have to admit Trump seemed to get right yesterday was, and this is so Trumpian, is that whenever anything's thrown at him, there's a quick deflection. If you ask him about the way his attitude towards women is, he goes, well, Bill Clinton's worse. Several times yesterday, he mentioned how Bernie Sanders was right about you, the way you did this. He seemed to figure that part of it out, whereas I'm never the scapegoat, it's somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, if you look at this debate from the point of view of someone who supported him before, you're going to like his performance because he did a better job than he did before in not answering the question you're asked, but answering the question you wish you'd been asked. And this is what, you know, politicians learn, I think, in their fifth day of politician school, is you learn how to pivot off.
He called himself a politician last night, too, remember?
Yeah. And I think that his first, I mean, he bragged about the first debate performance, but he knew and everybody else knew that he did terribly in that because he fell for every little piece of chum that she threw on the wall.
Yeah.
And he ended up, getting... When you bring up Rosie O'Donnell in a debate, you know you've lost.
It's a little desperate.
That was research.
And he was... But he was able last night to continue bringing it back to the case against the Clintons, which is what... That's all he's running on now, is anger against Hillary Clinton.
The sniffing, okay? It's not the microphone. He was obviously sniffing. And I noticed my husband Jim did the drinking game and was wasted very early on in the debate every time he sniffed. And I noticed almost every time he sniffed, he would say "and" afterwards. Like that was his stall tactic. When he was talking about business or taxes, I believe he knows what he's talking about. But when it was something like, what would you do for this? Well, And it was like just some time for him to pause and think of what he was going to say.
He may be able to get that the neosinephrine endorsement.
Oh, maybe. That's possible. More calls are coming in. Again, we're at 312-981-7200. Kathy has a theory. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First of all, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, because the screener was having a problem.
No, you sound good.
Okay. I think what we all need to remember is that that debate doesn't mean anything to Trump supporters. I know Kathy and Judy had a show on Saturday morning where they politely asked Trump supporters to call in and politely explain whether the tapes Friday night meant anything to them or not. And the first two women called were absolutely livid. They said it's the left-wing media who are promoting this. The real issues are immigration and the economy. And, you know, they don't want to hear anything else. And as far as Donald Trump not having a ground game, he doesn't need one in politics because his supporters are energized and angry enough to get up and vote themselves. But these debates and the tapes and everything else aren't meaning anything to them. It's not going to change anyone's mind.
Well, I think you'll be surprised, and the Trump campaign is going to be surprised at how important that ground game is, that get out the vote effort on Election Day that the Democrats have really mastered. Is it? It's hard to get people out to vote. That they say they're going to vote for you, they want to vote for you, but they get busy, they forget, they think they're going to vote after work, and then they work late, they don't get there, and you have to be on their case. And this is, you know, the ground game is really important in politics. But as for what Kathy said about the other stuff, yeah, I think that's really true, that these things don't matter, that tape didn't matter to Trump supporters.
You know why that's upsetting?
Thank you for calling, though, Kathy. We appreciate it.
If I was the most hardcore of Trump supporters, if I had worked on his campaign for months and months and months, and then I heard this, just the way he feels he can overtake a woman, grab a woman, have his way with a woman. If I was a woman, or if I'm a guy who's married to a woman and has daughters.
Or was born of a woman.
Or, yeah. Right. So if I'm a man or a woman for different reasons, and I hear this, I go, that's the guy that I'm giving my time and my vote to? Why would I do that?
Well, Kathy mentioned that these callers were saying that, well, immigration is important, the economy is important.
It's important.
They are important, but you need somebody who has the right temperament,
yep,
and the right character to be president.
Character.
And if you don't, then you're going to have someone who is not going to be able to get things, and who's not going to be able to you know, promote an agenda, a sensible agenda. And you want someone who doesn't, who reacts well to pressure,
right,
who respects his constituents. And so, I mean, the whole thing, it is all of a piece. I get that we don't want to spend too much time talking about these somewhat side issues. We want to talk about the important issues that people have. But, you know, the character and temperament of your president is very important.
Isaac has a comment, which you got to get out here. Isaac, go ahead.
I just thought that Trump's comment at the end was like five times better than what Hillary said. Like,
what do you admire about each other's candidate? Other?
I felt like Hillary maybe should have lied and came up with something, you know, something a little more genuine, because his comment, like, I'm not voting for him, but I mean, that comment that he gave, I might vote for him.
So just to recap, what happened was they asked me to name something that
it was a great question.
Name something that you admire about the other person rather than attack. What do you admire? And they went first to Hillary Clinton, and she said, I admire Donald Trump's children because they seem like such good people. Now, I actually kind of admire Ivanka.
That would be the only one.
The right. Boys seem like
the other
thugs.
Four are like the Addams
Family.
So
they're like the villains at the camp across the lake in some teen summer film.
She should have said his tenacity. That's what I thought she could have done way.
Yeah, and then what he said, he admired what a fighter she was.
Yeah.
Which you know, I mean, that was a good answer.
He won one answer.
I thought that was a good answer. I think I agree with Isaac. That was a good answer. I don't think her answer was terrible. I mean, it was a little bit damning by faint praise, right? But you know, this has been a very, very harsh campaign.
But he could have capitalized and said, if you admire my children so much, you have to realize good kids don't just happen by accident. It comes as a product of good parenting.
That's not true. No, a person develops on their own. Parenting can lead them in the right direction. But all that's said and done, a person turns into what they are on their own.
Yeah.
Because he has really good comebacks, like, throughout all of his, like, he's just really good. I'm 19, and, like, so whenever, like, you know, she said something, like, with the, I'll put you, you'll be in jail comment.
Yeah. You like that?
Okay, he got her with that one. He got her. I mean, yeah, I just was like, that was a good, you know.
But do you want a president who gives good zingers, or do you want someone that you trust to run the country?
Because then Gallagher would be our president.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just like, you have to, you know, give him props.
He's
that,
a performer. He's showbiz. He does a great job.
And actually, you know, Isaac, I disagree. I mean, it was like, you know, it was a little one-liner, and it got actually people clapped in the room.
She had no support.
But I do not want our country to devolve into a place where when you lose an election, your opponent moves to put you in jail. That's what we see in banana republics and dictatorships.
And other stores in the mall.
Yes. Isaac, thank you so much. Are you decided on what you're voting for? This is your first election, huh?
I'm pretty decided.
You want to tell
us?
We're
all afraid to ask.
You want to tell us? You don't have to. You can.
No, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And the reason is because I'm taking this international relations class in college. And it's just like, I feel like she's willing enough just kind of to do what it takes. You know, like, not really kind of care about the little person. Like, I mean, in terms of, like, the, you know, international relations and domestically speaking, but... Yeah, I think I'm going to be voting for Hillary.
I'll bet you know more about international situation because of the class you've taken than Donald Trump does. Seriously.
I'll take that bet. You're right.
I'm voting for you, Isaac. You got
my
vote.
Thank you, Isaac. We appreciate you calling.
Isaac 2020.
He's almost that old.
Martha Raddatz, Anderson Cooper knocked it out of the park.
I thought they did
an awesome job trying to keep things on track last night.
Pretty much, yeah. I thought at one point Martha Raddatz, it seemed like she was starting to argue with Trump, and I thought that she went
a
little too far there. She should have dialed it back, but basically, yeah, they kept it on track. And he
said at one point, this is one against three. Was it one against three? Do you remember that moment?
Yes, I do remember that moment. I didn't quite understand. He complained. They just talked about the emails.
Yeah.
And then he turned and said, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails?
I know.
Because we're talking about the emails. I'm not going to bring it up again.
And she chose not to continue, so that she ended it.
Yeah, I mean, the subject came up. There were a lot of issues that didn't come up that he could have brought up, I suppose.
Right.
No, I thought they did a pretty good job. I'm really looking forward to the next one real quickly. It's going to be Chris Wallace, I believe, from Fox News.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah, I think that's
right.
And that's going to be interesting because he's pretty tough. And I know he's from Fox News.
Is that on the 19th?
It's on the 19th.
Sound
right?
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week.
Yes,
we'll be right back and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.